May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 688. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs condemned for you, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursued. Hymn 688.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word. Firstly, Psalm 25, and then we will read a part of Amos chapter 6. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Now let us read part of Amos chapter 6. The prophecy of Amos chapter 6 and the first 8 verses. Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, that eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive, with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, do now help us, we pray, to help us at this evening service, that thou wouldst draw near to us. O Lord, we would pray that thou mightest pour out thy Spirit upon us. For, O Lord, thou art all-powerful, thou art merciful, thou art gracious to hear the prayer of the poor and the needy. And, O Lord, we own it, vile sinners. O Lord, do help us, we pray. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest hear us in the precious name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. That thou mightest come with power, that the word that we have read may enter into our hearts with power. O Lord, we do pray for that gracious help, that we may know that we are in thy presence, O Lord, in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yet, thou art the friend of sinners, the helper of the helpless. O Lord, thou art the healer of the leper, the deliverer of those that are unclean, that are out of the way, the feeder of the hungry. O Lord, thou art the shepherd of the lost sheep. And O Lord, we praise thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. And, O Lord, do grant thy favour upon us. And that which we pray for ourselves here, we pray for each of the assemblies of thy saints this evening. And that which has been done in the former part of thy day, that the word may come with power. O Lord, that it might not come in word only, but in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. O Lord, do grant that precious gift of assurance unto those that greatly tremble before thee, those that are much cast down, those that cannot see any way of deliverance, but their hope is unto thee. O Lord, do grant that precious gift, the full assurance of hope, of understanding, of faith. O Lord, do grant that pouring out of the Spirit, we pray, that Christ may be revealed. And, O Lord, that we might know personally that precious blood shed, that glorious eternal love, that great love, that great mercy, the riches of grace in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest appear for us. And, O Lord, we do beg that if there be any here that are, as we read, at ease in Zion, in a carnal ease, a fleshly ease, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to speak the word and, as it were, awaken their soul into newness of life. O Lord, it is not in my power, but, O Lord, thou art all-powerful. O Lord, do indeed speak the word, we pray, if it could please thee, that any that may be in carelessness, indifference, may be delivered from the highway to hell, the way of destruction, however so pleasant it may seem. O Lord, we pray that thou mightest look in mercy, if there be any that are so awakened, so trembling, fearing, O Lord, do speak the word. Do grant them that heavenly touch. Do grant them the revelation of thy pure and perfect and holy love. They may know the preciousness of thy shed blood and that it was shed for them. that, O Lord, thou mightest lighten their darkness and grant them that glorious liberty in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, may we be stirred up, each one of us, not in the flesh, but in the soul. And, O Lord, in the heart there may be that work, and there may be those fruits flowing from it, fruits to thine honour and glory in the churches. And, O, we would pray for thy church here, and our friends, the deacons, in their responsibility in the choosing of the hymns. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst build up this church here and bless them abundantly. Grant that there may be an increase, a bringing in of such as are ordained to eternal life, and that publishing abroad of the word. O Lord, we do pray there may be that testimony of thy love, of thy mercy, of thy salvation going forth from this place. And O Lord, as we meet on a day of darkness, a night of darkness, spiritual vileness, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest preserve us, keep us, we pray, and the light of the gospel may shine forth this night into the souls of many. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to deliver many who are deluded by the such celebrations of witchcraft and devil worship. O Lord, do deliver many, we pray, if it could please thee, in our land, which is given up to the worship of the devil, the worship of the flesh, the worship of money, of ledgers and pleasures. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. And, O, we would beg that thou wouldst raise up more labourers to preach the everlasting gospel, for many of thy servants are now aged, infirm, unable to continue as they did in former years through their infirmity. O Lord, do strengthen that which remaineth. Do help them in their labours, yet as they go forth in their weakness. O Lord, thou art all-powerful. O Lord, it was that still small voice that came to Elijah on Mount Sinai. O Lord, we do pray that still small voice may come unto us and to the assemblies of thy saints this evening and this day. But, O Lord, we pray, do raise up more labourers, those that might preach the everlasting gospel with power, and do clothe thy ministers with power, we pray. For the words may not come just as the word of man, but indeed the preaching of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And, O Lord, we pray that there may be a raising up of pastors in the churches. Even here thou wouldst be pleased to grant a pastor, according to thy heavenly pattern that thou hast granted and revealed to us in thy word. O Lord, may there be a burden and a concern over these things. There may be a raising up of pastors, a granting of pastors in the churches. And O Lord, we do pray for the sending forth of thy word to the four corners of this earth. O Lord, we pray that as the word goes forth, it may be a blessing at thy hand to many seeking souls in other lands. For, O Lord, what privileges we have here. We have thy word before us. We have such spiritual heritage in our land, in our churches. But alas, what carelessness there is over it. But, O Lord, others are so seeking thy word and have it not in their homes. And, O Lord, we do pray that their prayers may be answered, that thy word may yet go forth from this land, not just as paper and ink, but as the power of God unto salvation. And, O Lord, we would pray for the one true church throughout this world, especially those that are imprisoned for thy name's sake, in persecution, meeting amidst disease and poverty, in great tribulation. We do pray that thou wouldst appear for them and help them. And, O Lord, may we be taught now this night to open up the scriptures to our understanding, we pray, Do, O Lord, grant that there may be that live coal from off thine heavenly altar to touch my lips. O Lord, do touch the hearts of the people. Do touch us, we pray, that we may walk in thy word, that we may be doers of the word and not hearers only. And now our eyes are up unto thee. O Lord, thou art gracious, thou art merciful. We pray that thou wouldst bless the word. Grant us that true sense of thy presence, a true sense of awe and reverence at thy majesty, yet that we may look and live and behold thy mercy and grace. We do pray then these things and ask for thy help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 689. May we seek the revelation of the things which are in this hymn to our own soul. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love, my soul surprising, cries, I suffered all for thee. Hymn 689.
May the Lord help us to consider this evening, particularly from Psalm 25 and the first part of verse 13. We will read verses 11 down to 14. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Just particularly these words, his soul shall dwell at ease. In contrast with that which we read in Amos, that has been upon my spirit. In Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 we read this, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Here we read in the book of Psalms of one who is lifted up by God's grace, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. One whose eyes are up unto the Lord. One who confesses mine iniquity, it is great. But one who truly fears the Lord. One who is granted that precious hope and is given faith to lay hold upon that truth, his soul shall dwell at ease. We have in the margin of the reference Bible the word dwell at ease, literally in the Hebrew, is lodge in goodness. There in a place of goodness, of mercy, of peace. His soul shall dwell at ease. Yet we have others here in Scripture that are at ease in Zion. Not the same ease. Ease in the flesh. Stretching themselves upon the ivory couches, beds of ivory, drinking wine in bowls, anointing themselves with the chief ointments. Eating lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. Chanting to the sound of the viol and inventing to themselves music, instruments of music like David. Is it a concern to your soul as to which of these verses applies to you? Are you amongst those that are at ease in Zion, to which the word of the Lord pronounces woe? Or is there by faith, dwelling at ease, a true spiritual resting, lodging in goodness, resting upon the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or indeed, is there a desiring that you may be with him which is far better, that your soul may know that mercy, so longing that the Lord would deliver you, a looking for mercy? And truly, if there is a desire from the heart, a seeking after him, truly they that seek shall find, his soul shall dwell at ease. One of those glorious shalls in the Scripture. Let us begin with Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 and the solemn warnings there. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now Zion was that mount adjacent to the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, that citadel that David took that came to represent the city of God, Zion, city of our God. But this is a reference here to those that have the name of Israel, the name of a Christian, the name of a follower of God, a name that they're a worshipper. Perhaps who enter into the physical place of worship, bear the name of a Christian. But are at ease, in fleshly ease. Elsewhere in the scripture there's that reference to those of Moab and other nations that are at ease or are complacent. But here we have it concerning Zion. We may observe that there are many in this life in carnal ease, in the world, that have make no profession of Christ. But this word here, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, is a searching word for every one that makes a profession of Christ. And every one of us here, every one of you here, that has come to the house of God to statedly worship, in that sense are in Zion. In that sense, in the place of worship. Professing to worship God. But are you at ease, fleshly ease? Your heart and your soul really goes after the things of this life. After the music, after the food and the drink, lying upon beds of ivory, luxuries. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, except the Lord grant repentance. It shall be woe, and it shall be eternal woe. We live in a day of much affluence. What a snare that has become. That which we should be thankful unto the Lord for. That I would believe that none of us go hungry. Go thirsty, lack a house, lack clothes, lack family, lack friends. But how unthankful we are. At times our hearts take these things for granted. We desire more. Our hopes are there. And like the rich fool who had seen such an increase in goods, increase in the business, increase in prosperity. And what did he say? This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Then we read a little word. But. That word but. Just a little word. And there will be a day when that word but will come so awesomely to pass in this world. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Thou fool. He was seeking ease for the soul. Ease in this world. In these world's goods. And are you? Your younger friends, is that your ambition? To have a life of ease? though an increase of goods, increase of pleasures for many days laid up in store. Not to have to go through the paths of tribulation. Well, the word of God is, thou fool. But it would be a mercy if that word enters into your soul now, rather than at the day of judgment, when the soul of the unrepentant, the idolaters, those that idolise the things of this life, those that have lived a life of ease, revelled in the pleasures of sin, hoping it is for a long season, but is suddenly cut short. What then shall we do? What then shall we say? But God said, unto him, thou fool, oh, that the Lord might awake your soul, that the word of truth may enter in, that whether you be younger or older, if you are one that is in carnal ease in Zion, that the Lord may be pleased to open your eyes. We have those that are at ease that are the Lord's people. We read of that in the church of the Laodiceans. Rich and increased with goods, having lack of nothing. Yet in that backsliding state, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich in white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Are you in a backsliding condition? Well, how may we discern such a backsliding condition? At ease. Well, what has been our main desire? Is it to have better clothes? Bigger car? Better house? When we lavish our money on various vanities? Lavish our money on jewellery? Fashionable clothing? Were you able to pray unto the Lord to be guided in which item of jewellery to purchase? Or which fashionable clothes to wear? Or what expensive thing to buy? What luxury that you desire to have? Could you ask the Lord in prayer to be guided as to what vanity you should have? Was there that access to the Lord in prayer? How is your conscience before God? Well, if our conscience is hardened, we can go along to the shops and all the fashionable things, expensive clothes. The Lord knows that we have need of clothing. We have need of things. Like the rich man who was outside whose gate Lazarus sat. He was not wrong to have eaten and drunken in his own house. We read he fared sumptuously. That is, he had far more than ever he should have needed. And every day. And there was not a crumb for Lazarus. Not a care for the poor and the needy. Or for the word of the Lord. Although, evidently, we read from the parable that he and his brethren, they had Moses and the prophets. They had the word of truth before them, but there was no love of it in the soul, no practical walking in it. A coldness, a hardness of heart. These things creep on us little by little. Starts in a little way. A little hardness. A little twinge of, a little conscience. We harden our hearts. And little by little, we start slipping. It does not matter that we indulge ourselves a little. It does not matter that we neglect the reading of the word. It does not matter that we are not so earnest in prayer as we were. It does not matter that we neglect the midweek service or the prayer meeting or the family worship and the reading of the word of God and the prayer. It does not matter that our prayer time devoted unto the Lord in prayer and reading grows shorter because we've got so many other things to do, so many other duties, so many other concerns. There are so many needs for the family, so many things that the children should have. And all their other friends have these gadgets and this and that and the other and the fashions of this world, and should not they have it? Is it not a sign of backsliding? Is it not a sign that there's an increase of goods and riches of this life? The wisdom of the world? And does not the Lord himself warn those churches, the seven churches of Asia, well, five of them receive a warning? Those churches, and we think of Laodicea, that way of deliverance the Lord has set before them, it is repentance, a turning from the way of vanity, that which is delivered unto the church, and most particularly there to the angel, that is the messenger, that the word angel means messenger, or pastor of that church. The Lord most solemnly said that he would take away the candlestick. He would spew them out of his mouth, he wrote, said to one of the churches. The withdrawing of the Spirit. And as we look now, many hundreds of years after, where are the seven churches of Asia now? Where is the church of Laodicea? The church of Ephesus. Indeed, Ephesus lies in ruins and has done for centuries. And if we think we can indulge in a little sin, it have no consequence. May the word enter into your hearts. God said unto him, thou fool. If you think that you can indulge in a little worldliness, indulge in a little vanity, and think that there will be yet the Lord's favour upon the ministry, a blessed fellowship in the gospel in the church and congregation, a favour as you read the word of God, answers in prayer for your soul, the word of the Lord is true, it is faithful. The Lord, that title, holy, 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 thou Lord, Lord God of hosts, is holy. Nor may we be delivered by his chastening hand out of such carnal ease. Whether it be the ease of unregeneracy, one that is spiritually dead, that yet sits in the house of God, that holds a Bible, reads it, or whether we have fallen into a backsliding ease, having known and tasted that the Lord is gracious. And like Peter, warming ourselves by the fire, whilst our Lord, was he in ease in the judgment hall? What ease did he have there, the Lord Jesus Christ? Was there any rest for him whilst Peter was warming himself by the fire and denying the Lord? There the Lord Jesus Christ was being judged, spat upon, smitten, that is, struck in the face, buffeted, as it were, pushed, not kindly, but spitefully, being beaten, shortly to be crowned with thorns, that crown of thorns to be beaten into his head, to be scourged with a whip. Those scourges have those metal barbs on them to bite into the flesh and to tear it. To be mocked by the band of soldiers, to be brought before Herod, to be brought before Pontius Pilate, to be made to bear his cross, to be taken to the place of execution. What ease was there when his hands were nailed to the cross, when his feet were nailed to the cross? You who would be in ease in Zion, ease in a profession of religion, or ease in a true knowledge of Christ, but in a backsliding condition, so taken up now with the things of this life. Oh, that we may consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that we can have such and desire to have such lives of ease and luxury when the Lord who we profess went through such sufferings? Is it not hypocrisy? Well, perhaps you remember me saying before, a hypocrite comes from the Greek word for an actor, one who acts out. Now, an actor plays the part of a character in a play or a film, but that actor has another name. There's a real person as well as one that is acted out. And a hypocrite, in professing the name of Christ, acts out the part, but really is not. Really is another man or another woman or another child. Plays the part of a Christian at chapel, but is truly another man or another child or another woman at home or at school or at work or at university. And are easy at it, easy with it, unconcerned about it. This word ease in Amos chapter 6, it is a different word in the original Hebrew to that which we have in Psalm 25. Not the same word in the original. And in Amos chapter 6, the word also signifies complacent, secure, not secure in the right sense, but smug, secure in their own way. And also it has the sense of insolent. And the Lord's servants, see, even the Lord's servants, in our limited capacity, as it were, see signs of these things. Those that, as it were, are smug and insolent in their ease. We've read about those that stretch themselves upon the couches and beds of ivory. We've seen those as soon as I've got up to preach. One and another stretch themselves out to sleep, literally across the pews. Those that show their insolence to one's face whilst preaching. Those who will write in notebooks. Well, we know of those who do so to take notes so that their minds might not wander. They take notes of that which is preached, that they may, as it were, beat out the corn afterwards in their meditations. We know of those who will draw pictures of the minister while he's preaching. seen those who read novels at the back of the chapel. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. If the minister sees such things, how much more the Lord? It's not the minister's judgment seat that you must come before, it's the God of heaven and earth. But what insolence there can be. How it behoves us as parents to bring our children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. That the house of God is not the place for reading books, for toys, for colouring. Oh, that we may instill in our children that sense of reverence. It's a place of holiness, or should be. The Word of God is a holy book. It says Holy Bible upon it, and may we instill it, seeking grace of God, so to testify unto our children, not only in word, but in deed. How we have seen these things start as little things with the little children, how they become accustomed to do anything but listen to the ministry of the Word in the house of God. From a young age it starts. And are we at ease with these things? And how I've seen it myself. How those that, unless the Lord appears, how there is that, as it were, insolence to the minister. Add it to my face. After preaching in the house of God, and the young people come up and show insolence to one's face. Very humbling it is. Very solemn thing it is to have preached the word of God in hope. But so it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was for his servants. We think of the prophet Elisha. How the little children came out and mocked him. May we be warned by these things. Them that honour me, I will honour. May we remember that, whether we be children or parents, to honour God in his house. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. But let us come more particularly to those whose soul dwells at ease, that is, lodge in goodness, that dwell in a large place, as it were, in that bountiful place. His soul shall dwell at ease. Now this psalm begins, Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, as that desire from the soul, that which is immortal, that which will not pass away at death, that which must immediately be in the presence of God and the judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. There is that concern over the soul. It's not like the ease of the carnal ease of the rich fool, who said unto his soul, soul, take thine ease. But here, David's soul was not in a carnal ease. It was exercised, as it were, unto thee, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. Not, as it were, a stretching out of the soul upon the vanities of this life. But as it were, looking up unto the Lord, a stretching forth unto him. We have another psalm of David, Psalm 69. And in David's distress, here there is that fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. And in prophecy he speaks those things concerning the Lord. In his crucifixion and suffering, Psalm 69, it begins, Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. There's no trouble like unto soul trouble. We may have trouble in many ways, and we may go to our fellow men, or as children, we may go to our parents, or husband, or wife, or to our friends, or our brothers or sisters. We may be ill and go to the doctor in hope that the doctor would be able to give us some healing. Or we may be in trouble financially and be able to go to one who can have compassion and help us. But the soul, if your soul is in trouble, the waters of not just around your body but have come into the soul, the waters of trouble on account of your sins, on account of your vile disobedience to the word of God, your vile following after the vanities of this life, unthankfulness to God, rebellion against his word, denial of his precious holy name. And the Lord is pleased to send that, as it were, flood of conviction and reproof upon your soul, and the waters enter into your soul. But then there is none else but God who can deliver one in such a place. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. There's no ease there when the waters have come in to your soul. But how is it that one is delivered to David, to be in this place, to say his soul shall dwell at ease in that precious lodging in goodness, that resting upon our Lord Jesus Christ, that precious hope of peace, peace, perfect peace, of eternal life, and entering into the heavenly Jerusalem where nothing defiles, where there is no sin, no grief, where every tear is wiped away. How is it that one who's sinking in the mire, I sink in deep mire and there's no standing, cannot find the bottom, going down, I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me, I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for God, wait for my God. Oh, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ went that way. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who is ever in the bosom of the Father, he who we read, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. What riches in glory. We read of the appearance of the eternal Son of God. We read of that in Daniel this morning. Read of it in Ezekiel and elsewhere. Where there you see the eternal Son of God in glory, upon a throne. We see those visions of heaven that are recorded in Scripture, that glass, that sea of glass, that is no ripple at all, peace, perfect peace, and the Lord above it. Yet the eternal Son of God, read in the 40th Psalm, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is written, is within my heart. He came, willingly came, took human nature, body and soul into union with his divine nature and was born of the babe of Bethlehem. The Saviour, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to come and to redeem those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And was it a life of ease that our Lord Jesus Christ entered into? If you think even at his birth there was no room for him in the inn. Homeless. Laid as a babe in a manger. Place where the animals eat from. Hardly be called comfortable. As our Lord Jesus Christ testified that the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not wherewith to lay his head. No place of ease for him. Must go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Without food, not a place of ease. He's often in the desert places. In the wilderness. And at Calvary, Gethsemane, was it a place of ease? What darkness it was there. What horror of darkness as the sins of the elect, the number chosen of God that no man can number out of every kindred, tribe and nation, were laid upon him. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Oh, what horror of darkness there was there. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There was an obedience, a willingness. Even in the midst of such horror, for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, What condescension. He humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. So many today like to bask in a good reputation, to stretch themselves out under the glory of it. But the Lord made himself of no reputation, even though he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. And it was all in pure love and in pure mercy. And he came to the judgment. He came to Calvary. There was no rest for him that night. We read that if you look at Scripture, various ones took it in turns to torment him. They may have retired for their rest, for a bit of refreshment, handed our Lord over to another band of wicked men. To torment, then to crucify. And others came along to mock him, to offer him vinegar to drink in his thirst. That's Psalm 69. That is where there's in these Psalms, whether it's 69 or 68, eyes cannot quite light upon it, but the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A quotation from one of these Psalms there. David in his deep affliction was led into the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime. There, David, but in such a sinking place. The waters are coming to his soul there. But there he was entering in into the suffering, fellowship of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? bear that suffering of his sacred human soul. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. There was that suffering on account of sin, that shedding of his blood. What ease could there have been there for our Lord as his blood was flowing from his pierced hands and feet? Yet in the midst of that, there was one next to him, a dying thief. But the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, had awakened his soul to see that this one next to him was the Lord of glory. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord did remember him. The Lord spake to him. Even though the Lord was in such sufferings and agonies, he spake immediately to such a poor one as the dying thief. He didn't speak to those that came and mocked him. They said, come down from the cross, then we will believe. But he spake unto the one who was dying, the one into whose soul the waters had just come. And what did the Lord say unto him? Verily, verily I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was ease, prospect of ease, a true ease in the soul, a true resting through the precious blood of Christ, through the labours and glorious work of redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enter into the rest. There yet remaineth a rest unto the people of God. And the Sabbath, the rest of the Sabbath, is a, when rightly viewed, is a token of that resting in heaven, when Sabbaths shall have no end, when every day shall be a day of rest and of worship, and our souls shall be full of the love of God, and we shall not grow weary. Alas, we do grow weary. Even in the worship, those things that we hate ourselves for, weary in reading the Bible, weary in prayer, we hate ourselves for it. When I would do good, there is evil present with me, said the Apostle Paul. O wretched man that I am, not O wretched man that I was, but O wretched man that I am. But yet, he looked unto the precious Lord Jesus. There is no condemnation for them that are in him. His soul shall dwell at ease. For the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought the victory. He has gone through such agony, such labour, such shedding of his precious blood, that his beloved people may be with him in glory. Oh, what mercy there is to them that fear the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. That is the way that the Lord shall choose. The Lord hasn't called us to be taught in a way of ease, in a carnal sense. In the spirit, by faith, there is, as the Lord grants, that assurance, that resting upon him. But yet, in this life, it shall be a pathway of tribulation in a way that the Lord shall choose. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For the soul, when we are in the Spirit, shall dwell at ease in that right sense, remembering the precious promise that the Lord gave unto his disciples when their hearts were troubled. They could not understand where the Lord was going to. On that night before he was betrayed and crucified the following day, the Lord had spoken to them, but they did not understand. They could not bring themselves to believe. Their hearts were troubled. Although Peter said boldly, Lord, Why can I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Well, indeed, Peter did one day. But on that following day, it was true that, as the Lord said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. What a humbling place that was for Peter, but how necessary. Wasn't the place that Peter chose? And it is true for us today, we who would profess the precious name of Christ. The Lord will bring us to that place. And we've known it ourselves, where we in whatever manner it is, deny the Lord. Whether it be by our silence, or our deeds, or our words. And how humbled we are, what prick of conscience we receive, for there is teaching in it. And it is the way of the Lord's teaching, to humble us that he may be exalted. The Lord teaches us in many ways, through tribulations, through trials, to bring us to prayer, to bring us to cast all our care upon him, rather than on those of this life, who we would otherwise be trusting in and idolising. For the Lord will bring his people in that way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and that the Lord said unto the disciples, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What a word that is for a sinner cast down, dying, like those in the wilderness when Moses, they murmured against the Lord, and the Lord had sent forth fiery serpents. And they were bitten, they were dying. The sentence of death was upon them. And the word of the Lord came unto Moses, and he made, at the Lord's command, that brazen serpent to set forth in type the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified upon the cross. And he bid those that would live to look, and all that looked, live. And so it is today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no longer upon the cross. His sufferings are over. He was once offered, but his intercession, mediation at the throne of God on behalf of his people is continual. And by faith, we may view the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Apostle John, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ suffering on that very day. He was there. He saw the water and the blood flow from the side of our Lord after the Lord had given up the ghost and the soldier pierced his side. He saw it there. And many years later on the Isle of Patmos, in his old age, when the Lord appeared unto him, he saw the Lamb again as it had been slain. Did not see it with his literal eyes, but in that vision, in the Spirit, when he was in the Spirit. There he saw the Lamb as it had been slain, the merits of the sufferings of Christ, seen by faith. And so it is today that by faith these things are seen, in the Spirit. This is why it is so vital that we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, not in the flesh. In the Spirit. This is when the Apostle John was raised up, a door opened in heaven. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, that is Christ, the way from earth to heaven, the way from this place of suffering and sin to heaven, to glory. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither. That word, come. Like the Lord said, Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. There he was in heaven, and he beheld the lambs that had been slain. And our Lord went on, after he had spoken to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Oh, what precious invitation that is. What precious words those are to those that are heavy laden. Those that are burdened over their sins, that are troubled in their souls. Come unto me. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Not to say go, but come. And that publican, he went to his house justified. He came afar off, standing afar off. He could not so much as lift up his eyes, but his heart was up unto heaven. Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he received the blessing. And the Lord has not changed. His soul shall dwell at ease, shall lodge in goodness. And his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. He will show them that their names are written in the book of life. Although the devil would tempt them that they're not. Their sins testify that they're not. The Lord, who is the friend of sinners, whose precious blood has washed away the sins of his people, and those of you that are truly seeking him, burdened over your sins, crying out for mercy, the Lord shall fulfill his word, and he will show them, he will show you his covenant, that your name is written in the precious, precious book of life. There, through the precious blood of Christ. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening addressed by Mr. Chapman, followed by a church meeting. And on Wednesday, we expect Mr. Pickett in place of Mr. Broom, who will not be able to come because of changed circumstances. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field will preach and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn number 3. God is my everlasting King. God is my strength, and I will sing. His power upholds my feeble frame, and I'm victorious through his name. Hymn number 3.
And now, O Lord, look in mercy, we pray, and do bless thine own word. Do now take us to our homes in peace and safety, we pray. And do keep us, we beg. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.